When they got closer to Jerusalem, having arrived at Bethpage on Mount Olives, Jesus sent two disciples with these instructions. Go over to the village across from you. You'll find a donkey tethered there, her colt with her. Untie her and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, say, the master needs them. He will send them with you. This is the full story of what was sketched earlier by the prophet. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king's on his way, poised and ready, mounted, on a donkey, on a colt, foal of a pack animal. The disciples went and did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They led the donkey and the colt out, laid some of their clothes on them, and Jesus mounted. Nearly all the people in the crowd threw their garments down on the road, giving him a royal welcome. Others cut branches from the trees and threw them down as a welcome mat. Crowds went ahead and crowds followed, all of them calling out, Hosanna to David's son. Blessed is he who comes in God's name. Hosanna in the highest heaven. As he made his entrance into Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. Unnerved people were asking, what's going on here? Who is this? The parade crowd answered, this is the prophet Jesus, the one from Nazareth in Galilee.
Okay, so if we go on to our first slide, this is the world. So it looks very cynical, and you can all tell that I'm a bit of a pessimist, although I might come across as an optimist. But whenever I'm in school, I usually hear the teenagers, whenever they're talking about the world, they just think it's the worst. Like, this is just the worst thing that's ever happened. They seem to see so many world tragedies, maybe because of increasing globalization, and they hear about it all of the time. But things to them sometimes seem quite enclosed and quite isolated, that the world is just a mess. They are quite engaged with politics. I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but the teenagers that I talk to in school, not all of them, are quite engaged with what's going on and what our politicians are doing for us and things like that. And a lot of them seem to think it's a bit of a mess. So if we go on to the next slide. In Jesus's day, it also felt like that. So whenever I was looking for this sermon, I thought, what type of world was Jesus entered into? And to be honest, it wasn't that much different from ours. So to explain that map, there was one major superpower-ish at the time, and it was the Romans. And they seemed to control quite a lot, which often the kids feel that there's different world superpowers that control a lot. So we go on to the next one. I also didn't realize that in Jesus' day, kids played hopscotch. Not so much like that, but they played normal games, things that were quite like us. So things weren't too different. If we move on to the next slide then. So this is a picture from, I think it's the Passion of the Christ. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. And it's Jesus speaking to the religious leaders at the time. Now, I'm sure you might know that the religious leaders at the time were quite difficult to work with. They were quite legalistic, which meant that they fired down a whole pile of laws that everyone else had to respond to. But not only that, they were quite fractured. So there was different fragments of different things. And we won't go into it now, but if we go on to the next page, that's all of, well, not all of our different denominations, because there's a whole pile more, of the Christian church. We're still in a fragmented church similar to that Jesus was entering into. So whenever Jesus entered in on Palm Sunday, it might seem that it was a completely different atmosphere than what we go into, but actually it's not too far off where we're at right now. If we go on to the next page. No, there's one just before that, I think. No, there's not. Doesn't matter. There's one with the stones somewhere. Could you get the stones up? I might have an old copy. That one. That's the one. Thank you. That was my fault. So now I want you to visualize Jesus. Now, whenever people read out those Bible passages that Ruby read so well, I often just can't place myself in it. There's people who've went to Jerusalem and they say it's a lot easier to then read their Bibles, but I really struggle to read my Bible and just see it all happening. So I thought this might be helpful. I got this image from Google of the streets of Jerusalem. So I want you to imagine what it would be like whenever Jesus was entering in. Just before, a few days previous, which I didn't know this until last week, that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead a few days before. For some reason, growing up in church, I always thought that Jesus' ministry started on Palm Sunday. So I couldn't quite figure out why all these crowds knew he was so great and why they were all there waiting on him. And then when I did my reading, I realized that actually he did stuff before, and this was just his entrance as king. So people are starting to gossip and buzz about Lazarus being raised from the dead and this great prophet coming, and they're all gearing up, getting ready for it. So try and imagine that. Try and imagine the like click-clack of the donkey on those steps, and try and imagine the people buzzing around the marketplace, getting the palms ready, taking the leaves off. Now imagine that, and that is our setting for today. If we go on to the next one. Thank you. Who knows who this is? Tegan. Donkey. This is Donkey from Shrek. I'm sure most of you have seen it. So, Tegan, can you tell me the difference between those two images? One's donkey and one's a horse. So in Shrek, this beautiful moment happens when Shrek wants to not be an ogre anymore because he's an ogre and he's fallen in love with a lovely human being who was cursed and is also an ogre. So anyway, they take this potion that's supposed to make you into this beautiful and wonderful thing, and Donkey takes it too. So this is him when he's a stallion. And I'm sure a lot of you can remember that quote that he says, "I'm a stallion, baby." That's what he was. And the other one is Donkey as normal. Not so attractive, as you can imagine. But these two images are actually quite important for Palm Sunday. I also realize my accent might be stronger at the minute. I just caught it. I'm sorry. I'm just back from Northern Ireland. I'll try and slow down. These images are really important because what people expected of a king and what they expected of Jesus was to come in on something like that really attractive horse. And the reason why was because they expected him to start war. So if you think back, and we don't need to go back to it, to that image of the Roman Empire, you know, the Jews were oppressed by these people. And they'd imagined that when their Messiah comes, he's going to start all these fights, he's going to overturn it all, and suddenly their world will be put to right again. But instead, Jesus came on a donkey that we read from our scripture. Now, I read a couple of commentaries last week, and it seemed to be a bit conflicting. Some people said it was a donkey because it was a bit pathetic and it wasn't expected. But actually, King Solomon did it too in the Old Testament. He wrote it when he was recognized as king. So to me, it seems a wee bit more likely that Jesus was telling us what type of king he's going to be. Was he going to be the war horse that came in and said, "No, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to fix it all. And this is how I'm going to do it." Or was he coming in like a donkey? And I'm sure you can imagine the two differences between the two. If we move on to the next slide, this is a scene from it. From Shrek, "I can't feel my toes, I don't have any toes, I think I need a hug." Donkey's really pathetic, like he's quite a laughable character, he's quite comic in Shrek, that he's just a bit stupid and pathetic. But this is the animal that Jesus chose to ride in on, and it seems that he chose that because he was coming in a completely different way than what was expected. What was expected of his followers, of the Jews, of the religious leaders. He was telling us something about the type of king that he wanted to be. And I want you to discuss what type of king that will look like in a moment. Now, whenever I read this chapter, I got really angry, like really angry. And I was really tempted to tell Dave that I don't want to do it anymore, because I thought about Jesus coming down and going through the city gates and all these people welcoming him. And then I thought about, I don't know if you remember the story of the 10 lepers. You might have learned it in Sunday school. I didn't go to Sunday school, so I didn't learn it in Sunday school. So I'll tell you about it. Essentially, there was 10 lepers outside the city, and it was because it's a skin disease, and at that time you had to be separate from the healthy people, right? So they were put outside, and Jesus touched them. Now, you weren't supposed to touch a leper, and he healed them. Now, it's a completely different Bible story, totally irrelevant, but while my flight was delayed yesterday, I realized I'm not angry about this scripture anymore, because it all seemed to click. And what had happened was they were outside the city gates and Jesus healed them. So whenever I thought about this scripture, which was what I've been stuck on while I've been prepping this, was that Jesus must have walked past these people when he was coming into Jerusalem. And there must have been these sick people that couldn't stay in the same proximity as everyone else. And they were outcasts and they were at the city walls. But I was getting really angry because I could not find a mention of them in any of these scriptures. The whole way through the great triumph of him coming in, there was nothing there. So I thought, how am I going to talk about this on Sunday morning? So if you open up your Bibles to Matthew 21. Now, it's a different translation that we'll have, but I want you to have a look. Matthew 21, verses 12 to 14. So the verses just after Jesus coming into Jerusalem, it talks about what he does. It says, I'm reading it from the Message, but you can follow along in your translation, that Jesus went straight to the temple, threw out everyone who had set up shop, buying and selling. He kicked over the tables of loan sharks and the stalls of dove merchants. He quoted this text, my house was designated a house of prayer. You have made it a hangout for thieves. Now there was room for the blind and the crippled to get in. They came to Jesus and he healed them. Now I'm not too sure, but I looked up about whether they're allowed in the temple, and there seems to be a bit of controversy about whether these people were even allowed in the temple. And suddenly it all clicked to me that these people weren't included, or maybe Jesus talked them the way past. I don't know. But they weren't mentioned on his entry in, but so there was something greater for these people. These people, to me, that looked like outcasts and that they weren't going to be involved in God's plan for whenever Jesus came into Jerusalem. And actually, they were coming into the temple and they got healed. And in a place where there was fragment, where political stuff seemed crazy, where religious stuff seemed split and nobody knew what they were doing, Jesus still came in and Jesus performed a miracle. Now, that made me feel so much better about Palm Sunday. I don't know about you, but while I was reading it, I just wasn't clicking at all. So out of everything that we're saying, if we move on to the next slide. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So this was in the Old Testament, and this was written hundreds of years before Jesus came about. But whenever Jesus came, he fulfilled that, and he fulfilled that with a donkey. So today, I didn't think I was going to be able to say it, but I want to be able to rejoice. And rejoice not only because Jesus decided to come, but because of the work that he wants to do and because of who he includes in his kingdom. But not only that, Jesus actually wants to use us to do that now. So at this time, Jesus did his work, but we're not now at this beautiful time in history where Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can do it with him. And I think that is something big to rejoice about. So instead of me going on for a bit longer, I learn best in community. I really struggle to sit through a whole service. So because I learn best that way, naturally, I've got used all to learn best that way, like a good person would. So I've put conversation starters on your table, and I want us to discuss what we've just chatted about or what these are. So feel free to go ahead. We're not going to feed back to the group. You can keep your conversations private. Is we're going to make edible donkey poo. So that's why you have all that stuff on your table. And it's to help us remember about the donkey. And I realized I didn't explain one of the questions. Most of them were quite self-explanatory. Apart from the last one, are you a donkey or are you a horse? And I thought about whenever I first became a Christian, I was definitely a horse because I was right and everyone else was wrong. And I came from a church that preached about that hot and cold church in Revelation a lot. And I was like, I have to be on fire and I have to do this. And I was definitely a horse. And now I'm striving to be like the donkey. But Alex pointed out a really good point, and she said, as much as we have to be like the donkey, sometimes we need to stay strong in what we believe. So that was quite helpful. Thanks, Alex. So to remind ourselves of the donkey and of the meaning of Palm Sunday, I'd like you to make some donkey poo. Now, the reason that I thought this would be a good idea is because sometimes I've heard on Palm Sunday, people preach and like Jesus comes into your life and always these big miracles happen and these big things happen. And sometimes that is true. I don't think we should ever stop asking Jesus for that. But sometimes Jesus coming into our life again and again looks like him helping us in our relationships or with our family or with school or things like that. It doesn't always look like this big miracle, but it can look like an everyday event. So one of these things that you are going to expect Jesus into your life for, if you want to write it on both crosses, one for you to bring home and one to put into the oasis. So feel free to come on and do that. There should be markers by your table.